Live from Owings Mills, another Purple Report by WNST correspondent Luke Jones.
Eric DaCosta and John Harbaugh met with the media for the Ravens season-ending press conference in Owings Mills.
Well, thanks for coming in, guys. Obviously, you know, it's a long season. We appreciate you guys covering the team every day and being out here and writing about our team and our players, and I think it's great for the community. And so if you guys have questions, offer them up.
John and Eric, since you guys come back to Buffalo, have you talked to Mark Andrews? What's kind of his mindset right now? And Eric, I think Andrews going into his final year. Can you talk about the future for Mark as well?
Mark is, we communicated, and I'm going to tell you what, like Mark Andrews is one of the very best football players, one of the most committed football players. Nobody cares more about the success of this football team than Mark Andrews. And that's why, and he made numerous plays in the game up until the plays that everybody's talking about and in the season. And one of my messages to him was, we are not where we're at throughout the course of the season or in the game without the contributions of Mark, specifically in the game and the plays that he made, spectacular plays all season. And then the unsung aspect of all the blocking he did in line and on the perimeter. So Mark Andrews is a great football player, and he's also a very tough-minded individual. So, yeah, he takes it hard and because he cares so much. But I love Mark Andrews. Eric loves Mark. All of our players love Mark. Mark is a huge part of our future, and we love him. And you know, we're there for him. But if anybody can take a tough circumstance like that and handle it with class and grace and dignity and mental toughness, it's most definitely Mark Andrews.
Yeah, I agree with John. And Mark and I have communicated. I'll leave those thoughts to myself. As far as Mark's contract goes, you know, he's no different than a lot of guys. In fact, I think all of our tight ends are in the last year of their contract coming up in 2025. So, you know, we'll have some decisions to make moving forward. Not as many, I think, you know, tough decisions this year looking at it, which I'm thankful for. But obviously, as we look out, we'll have some tough decisions after next season. So a year from now, we'll have some tough choices and decisions to make regarding players. But, yeah, so that room right now, all three of those guys are in the last year of their deals. Ironically, Charlie and Isaiah and Mark, we're blessed to have, in my opinion, the best tight ends room in the league. And we'll be blessed this year on the field as well.
Eric, obviously, you know, another year, you guys have a really good regular season. You win a division, you're a talented team. Unfortunately, you fall short of your ultimate goal. How do you equate this season? How do you view this season as a successful season in your mind?
Yeah, you know, perspective over what, you know, 29 seasons, and we've had 27 seasons like this. You know, I think my math is right, but I'm very proud of the team this year. It was a successful season. I'm not going to sit up here and say it was not a successful season. It was in just about every way of looking at it. But I'm disappointed, and John's disappointed. We're all disappointed. Our team's disappointed. You know, we had higher aspirations, and we didn't achieve those aspirations and goals. But I think it was a successful season. I'm very proud of the team, the players, the coaches, support staff, everybody. And I've already moved on. I've started watching tape. I'm immersed in college and pro scouting right now and talking about contracts and negotiations and different things. And that's one, I think, for me, that's one of the blessings of my job is it's very seasonal. And I'm in now one of my most favorite seasons, which is the off season, which is not, it's a misnomer because it's my busiest time of the year. But I love being a part of the solution, and that's what we'll be.
Eric, have there been any conversations with Lamar, or will you kind of kick this can down the road as far as his contract and perhaps eventually restructuring something to get a little bit more cap friendly, whether it's this season or next?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen teams do that. And, you know, Lamar and I, we've had a lot of discussions about contracts over the years. And at some point, I'll probably talk to Lamar. I'm just really happy, blessed to have watched him play football this year. You know, we just finished the season. I want Lamar to relax a little bit and kind of think back on what we accomplished as a team and what he accomplished individually. We'll have those conversations probably at some point. And I think Lamar is, you know, what I've seen just with Lamar is he's just grown so much, even just over the last couple of years, in terms of, his game as a player, as a leader, as a person. I love talking with him. We communicate all the time. And as I said, I've been blessed to be with him for the last 7 years.
Speaking of Lamar, this is for both of you guys. How does he change the narrative from what he's done to the regular season as opposed to the postseason, you know, changing what people think about him after the regular season ends? Is there anything more he can do?
And what do people think about him?
Well, there's the difference with the numbers and the way he performs between the postseason and regular season. So I didn't think he played poorly the other day, but that's perception out there. It all falls, it seems, on the quarterback.
I can say there's no player I'd rather have on my team than Lamar Jackson. He's, I think he's the best quarterback in the league. So that's my answer to that question.
Hey, Eric, what about the urgent for John? Left side of your line, both free agents. What do you guys, with Ronnie, 31, with Ben injured, had a great year this year. What are you hoping to do there?
Well, I think, Vinny, our goal is to always have the best line that we can have, offensive line. We made a tough call last year to go younger and bring in and have some younger guys play, and we knew we'd have a few growing pains. I think we had a few, but looking back on it, I think it was absolutely the right thing to do, and we saw our guys improve and get better and really mesh as a unit and gel. We are aware that we have some, guys that's contracts are up. We'll look at that and certainly have some discussions with players, and we'll look at potentially bringing back our guys. We'll look at the draft. We'll look at free agency. We'll overturn every rock to find as many good offensive linemen as we can. And I think we have some good young players on the team. They've shown that. And one thing that we've seen over the years with that position is guys get better as they get older and more established and get in the weight room and get stronger and play better. So that's going to be the case with the guys we have. We're blessed to have really good coaches and some young good young players. But also we realize that we're probably going to have conservatively 10 or 11 draft picks this year. Free agency, and still the chance to get some deals signed with some of those guys.
Especially with Ronnie's status in mind, what did you see from Roger Rosengarten? First of all, as an NFL player, but is he someone that you could see moving to the other side if Ronnie isn't back? And just what you thought of him as a rookie?
Well, he's played both sides of that. He's played left and right. I mean, this year it's a very hard thing to come in as an offensive lineman as a rookie and play well. And Roger, honestly, just got better and better and better and better, mature guy beyond his years. I think a year in the weight room is going to really serve him well, as it will all of our guys. But I think that we were very – I can speak for myself and say I was very happy with what Roger did. It's a very tough position to play as a young player. I think his future is very bright, as are the guys that he played with on the offensive line this year. And we're excited to see what he looks like next year.
I know there's always moving pieces on the coaching staff, and Todd's interviewed. What is your – I mean, last year you basically had to overhaul almost your entire defensive staff. Do you expect your staff back, or are you still anticipating there could be some departures?
Well, it's not for me to really know. I don't know for sure. I think it's awesome and great that these coaches have gotten an opportunity over the last few years. I'm kind of proud of that. And the fact that guys are getting opportunities now, whatever those might be, I'm not exactly sure because it's still pretty early. But you might have a better beat on that than I do sometimes, in terms of following up on what's going on. But whatever chances they get, they're most deserving of, and I'm happy for them. Of course, I'd love to keep them, and if I tell them, I say, I'm rooting for you, I'll definitely tell people how great you are because you deserve it. But if it doesn't work out for you, I'm really happy that you're staying with us. And I think our players, we've talked to a lot of our players, and I know our players feel the same way.
Have you talked to Dean about that? Obviously, that's a little more of a unique situation.
Yeah, I have, and a little more nuanced thing. Just appreciative of Dean and the job he did. I know Zach feels the same way, defensive coaches. It helped us. It was a good thing to have Dean come back and experience it. Reconnected us to, our roots in terms of the structure of the defense, because Dean was a big part of that for, from 2012 and 2011, 2010 even, as a linebacker coach and on through as a coordinator through 17. And it was kind of good to get reconnected to a lot of that, and I think he was a good eye and ear for the players and coaches. And he's interested in continuing in some sort of a role. I do think, you know, he's at that stage of his life where it's probably not going to be that full-time thing like he did the second half of the season. Mel, his wife, is amazing. She was here. You know, she'd come by and be in the cafeteria and be around, and it was great to have her around. But, you know, they're at that time of their life where they got some different priorities with the grandkids and stuff. But he is going to be still connected. He'll still have a role as a consultant for us. That's my plan. That's his plan, and that's great.
What are his responsibilities as a consultant, and how do you evaluate Zach Ford's progression outside of what Dean added?
Dean was, he was a sounding board and an ear, and he had ideas, and he functioned as part of the staff. The thing about coaching staff, and I think it's really important that people, you should understand this, I guess, because you work in different organizations, but it's always a collaboration. It's a team effort. And Dean was part of the team, you know, and brought his abilities and experience and knowledge to the table, and was just a great teammate that way, and helped. I think he helped. And he sure helped Zach. I mean, Zach's a great young coach. First year as a coordinator, there's things you have to learn only by experiencing. And Dean been a coordinator for probably 30 of the 40 or 45 years he's been a coach. And he learned all these things sometimes the hard way. For Zach to be able to tap into that knowledge and that experience right away, fast, was really, really positive. And I think Zach would tell you the same thing. So that was a big part of it.
Eric, every year, not every year, but a lot of years, you've brought in a, quote, camp leg to kind of give Justin Tucker some rest. Do you anticipate bringing in a kicker that will legitimately compete for that kicking job, or do you perceive that Justin Tucker has the kicking job next year?
Well, I think Justin's going to go down as, in my opinion, if not the best kicker of all time, one of the best, and I think he finished the season strong. We'll have those discussions, but I think, you know, I have every expectation that Justin's going to be a great kicker for us next year and moving forward. We're blessed to have Randy Brown and Chris Horton upstairs and Sam Cook, awesome coaches, special teams coaches. They'll be a part of the discussion, but, you know, the way that Justin finished, he finished strong this year towards the end, had a little bit of adversity midway through the season. But, you know, I think Justin is a tremendous competitor, very, very talented. He works his butt off, and I would expect him to be the kicker for us next year.
What are you thinking about Trenton? He started off in the middle, and then he kind of drifted as Malik and Chris Ford took over. Is he still in the mix, or do you go with one or both of those guys going forward?
Well, I think he's an exciting young prospect. I think he's a really, really good young player, developmental guy. And I think he's, you know, obviously, like a lot of our young players, they have their ups and downs and their growing pains. But I think his future is very bright. We've seen guys like him, you know, have their moments and then end up being really, really good players. And I would expect that. This guy's young, very athletic. He can run. He's very explosive. He has a huge care factor. And it's our job to get that out of him. And I think we will.
Eric, the 2022 draft class is now eligible for a contract extension. How much of a priority is it for you this offseason to ink some of those guys to extensions?
Well, we'll work on that. I mean, you know, I sat up here in 2019 and said we're going to try to retain as many of our good young players as we can, and I think we've done that. I'm proud of that, and I think you'll see that continue this offseason.
What went into the thought process with the Deontay Johnson trade, and how disappointed was it that didn't probably work out the way you hoped?
Yeah, I think, you know, we looked at it as a chance for us to strengthen a position group, potentially, a guy we've played against a lot. I think we did our homework. We understood the risks and the rewards. Didn't look at it as cost prohibitive. It was a relatively inexpensive deal for us to make in many ways. We knew that it wasn't 100% going to be a slam dunk, and it didn't work out. So, you know, we always try to mitigate our risk. One of the jobs of a general manager is to mitigate your risk and look at the downside and the upside and see how it works out. In that particular situation, I really didn't see a lot of downside. I think we understood what the downside might be, that the guy would be unhappy with his role potentially.
Was a total hit for you. You have to feel good about that when you put yourself out for a guy like that and he really shows up for you. And there's been a couple along the way this last year.
Yeah.
Agave comes to mind. I mean, you know, Kyle Inwood.
Yeah, I appreciate you bringing up those guys. And I think I'm very proud of Rashad Bateman. You know, this guy's had some adversity with injuries along the way that he's overcome some serious injuries and some bad luck. And, you know, I think he's taken some criticism. And he came back this year with a vengeance and just kept stacking and stacking and stacking and fighting through some nagging stuff and playing and getting better every single week. And, you know, it's a great story. And I think he's just getting started. I think I really do. And so he's a great person. He works hard. Again, another guy that really loves football and loves the game. And I think his future is very bright, and I can't wait to see what he looks like next year. And those other guys, Adafe, another guy, you know, I think he also had a lot to prove this year. And we made the decision to pick up his fifth-year option. I'm glad we did. Finished with double-digit sacks this year and had some big plays and big games for us. And again, ascending player, a good young player. I think he's going to build off this year and be a better player. And then the other guy you mentioned is Kyle of Van Noy. And different from those guys, this is a guy that's really, I think he's living his best life as a player right now, and he's an older player. And so that's exciting for us to have a guy with that experience that he's had. He's played in multiple cities. He's been in multiple places. I think he really appreciates the Ravens, which is great. This is a guy that's he's played in, what, three or four teams. He loves this place. And our young players see that, and that resonates, and that's a big deal. And he comes to work every day with a great attitude. He's the leader. And he's a fun storyline this year for us.
Eric, the Derrick Henry signing worked about as well as it possibly could have. No, he's under contract, but with the deal that's kind of waited a little bit for the second year, is that a guy that you would also be talking to maybe about an extension or something? I mean, you know, what's the plan going forward with Derrick?
Yeah. Well, some people, I mean, I think Jerry thought he was over the hill last year. But I think he proved that he had a lot left in the tank. And I'm sorry, Jerry, I couldn't resist.
Jerry's been wrong before. It's okay.
You know, we'll look at that. I think it's a good question. I'm just so grateful that Derek chose us last year. Came in and just I can honestly say, like, his attitude and the way that he played was amazing to watch. And just his relationship with his teammates, his humility as a player, his work ethic. Can't wait to see him next year. You know, I know it was tough on him to end the way it did, tough on all of us. But I think we have a chip on our shoulders to come back next year with a vengeance, to start faster than we started this year, to not start 0-2 next year, to get out of the gates faster. And I think Derek will be a big part of that.
I think I just mentioned about whether he had something up in the tank. But the question for you and for the coach. Coach, off what he said starting 0-2 and the way you guys rebounded, how do you characterize this year compared to what the 16 or 17 you've been the head coach of this team? And then, Eric, for you, what does Steve have to say since you don't get a chance to hear from him and you speak to him directly?
You know, every season stands on its own. And that's the great thing about this whole adventure, just like life. And this season was an awesome season in so many ways, the ways that really matter. You know, you don't live in the narratives. You live in the reality and the relationships, and that's been fantastic. And that's the thing that I really treasure about this team, because this was a football team that was singularly focused on one another, the team, and being the best team they could possibly be, and doing the best they could do. It doesn't guarantee that every outcome is going to be the way you want it to be in every circumstance. And that's why it's so hard to go all the way. That's why what the Chiefs have done the last 2 years is so impressive. And that's what we're shooting for. But they did everything they could do in terms of, I felt like, every single day. Now our job is to do everything we can do in the off season, like Eric said, this in-season, off-season, to improve our football team in every way. Coaching staff, scheme, players, how we operate, everything we can do, every single thing we can do to try to be better next year in what we present to our guys, and then them take another step forward individually, you know, whether it's all of our players, you know, from Lamar and Roe and every single player we have. What can you do? What can I do? What can I do? What can I do to be the very best I can be right now going forward? And that's what you do in life. And our guys did that this year, and I think we'll take that to another level again next year.
Hey, gentlemen, what happened with Marcus Williams? Because, I mean, mini camp. You know, when Kyle was hurt, he was leader out there making calls, aggressive. And then, you know, once the season started, you know, I'm watching film, he wasn't even in the projection. You know, you couldn't even see him. And it wasn't physical. You know, I mean, and then you guys, you know, put him off to the side.
Yeah, it was a tough season for Marcus. But I admire the way he handled it. Faced a lot of adversity that just kind of came with the production, you know, at the end, and also, you know, the way the performance, and never pin it on any one thing. There's no way to pin it on any one thing, Vinny. You know that. You got to kind of look at it as a whole, and there's a lot of factors in there. But I know this: I was impressed by the way Marcus handled himself through all of that, because sometimes the tougher thing is how you respond to the disappointment and the adversity that he faced as a result of maybe not playing as well. And he did a good job with that. He was a team guy through and through. His attitude was positive right to the end. He supported his teammates. That's kind of the measuring stick for me as a man of how he handled it. And I'll be forever proud of him and grateful for that.
Eric, that opened the door for our Darius Washington to step in, and he made several impact plays for this team down the stretch. Just your thoughts on his season.
Yeah, you know, our Darius got a chance, and I'll credit the coaches. You know, I mean, we're at a point in the season where we're looking for solutions to play better. And John and Zach and Chris, they all kind of got together and had a game plan. And I give the coaches a lot of credit for doing that. It really turned our season around. And our Darius is a great example of a guy that got a chance and ran with it. We knew, you know, I'll go back to his draft class year. You know, he went undrafted because he's a step slow. He's a couple inches smaller. And we got him, and we were excited when we got him as an undrafted free agent because he was a great football player. And the question really becomes, can he do the same thing at our level that he did at the college level? He got hurt a couple of years, unfortunate injuries, a lot like Rashad in that way. You know, his early first couple of years got held back a little bit. This year he stayed healthy, and he became that guy that we saw in college, you know. Tough, physical, a playmaker, instinctive, smart, a leader. Great story. Just another one of these undrafted guys over the years that we've had that's developed into being a really good football player. We're proud of him. He's going to be a restricted free agent this year for us, and we're fortunate that we have him back again next year.
Eric, in a similar vein, how would you assess the season of your first-round draft pick, Nate Wiggins, and what you think?
You know, we knew Nate was a great athlete and a great cover guy. He's young. I mean, when you look at him, I mean, I've got two sons, and, you know, I'm getting older, but I look at him, and he just seems young to me. He's a tremendous athlete. He's got a very bright future. We want to get him stronger. You know, I mean, you've all seen his body. I think an off season is going to really serve him well. Had some nagging injuries and things that he fought through, handled some adversity, I think, pretty well. You know, he had the unfortunate car accident early in the year, which probably derailed him for a few weeks. But he's got a very, very bright future because he can do some things that other guys can't do. And I think, you know, eventually, like, how far he develops is really going to be up to him. His future is unlimited because he can do some things that just are very unusual and unique at his position. And I can't wait to see what a good offseason does for him. Everything is fast forward, full speed ahead with him. I mean, he had a good year. He can be great next year, but it's going to be up to him.
Eric, going back briefly to the safety position, you know, I'm sure it was a tough decision to carry so many safeties on the roster once it was kind of kind of apparent that Ardarius would be the answer there. What happened with Eddie Jackson? You know, and John mentioned sort of the positivity that Marcus kind of carried through, you know, his tough struggles. Was there a different situation with Jackson that led the team to cut ties with him?
I would say that's probably more of a roster decision in terms of us needing a spot at that time. I think Eddie, he's a veteran player. And sometimes when you add veteran players, you've really – you know, as a GM, you've got to look at the player and you've got to figure out, is this player going to be happy in his role? This is a guy that's, I think Eddie was a two-time Pro Bowl safety earlier in his career. And, you know, it really comes down to, you know, probably I failed because this was a guy that didn't really want to accept his role as a backup safety and a special teamer. And I understand that. I really do. It was a good value for us to get him the way we did. And I think sometimes if I'm guilty of mistakes, it's finding value, but not always considering how that player is going to handle the situation he's being forced into. And, you know, Eddie just, he just wasn't happy with his role. He wanted to play football. He got probably distracted at times, but I appreciate Eddie. He's a great player. He's been a great player in his career. He's played well against us in the past. I think he's got a lot of football left, and I wish him the best. I enjoyed being around him. It just didn't work out for him as well as he wanted it to, and it probably didn't work out as well for us as we wanted it to. But I think he can play football, and hopefully he has a good situation next year where he flourishes.
John, what have you learned about you guys are going to have this great season, and everyone was, I agree, completely focused on getting to where you want to get, so you do all the things, and it comes down to a couple, an inch here, a bobble there, and it doesn't go your way. What have you learned about handling the part that you can't control and dealing with that as your growth as a head coach?
Well, I think, you know, you're going to be a coach in this profession, and last, you're going to have to understand that, you know, and put things in perspective. You know, there's a lot of perspective that goes on. So, you know, we emphasize, we talk about, we practice, we drill, we train. The guys talk about it all the time. And then a football game is played. And that's what makes it so interesting, because you really can't predict anything that's going to happen. And, like, you want to draw correlations and you want to find the one reason for this or that. But the reason is that it's a football game, you know, and you try to learn from it. And that's why I said individually and collectively to try to be better the next time and to try to mitigate anything that you can control in your favor. And that's what we work so hard to do. And when you get into these situations and these circumstances in the playoffs, and we've had numerous opportunities now because we've earned our way in, you want to put four good games together, you know, or three good games together if you get the number one seed, and stack them back to back. And they need to be more so in the playoffs than anything. They need to be as positive-centric as possible. You can't really afford too many negative plays because they can make a difference. And if you look at our team this year and in the past, for the past 17 years, you don't see us getting blown out. You don't see us falling apart, either in a game or in the season. You always see us fighting back. I think that is the real measuring stick, not the narrative that, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that. And you keep striving forward to stack those games together, you know, and put three or four really good games together, error-free games together, and go ahead and win a Super Bowl. And when you do that, it's really a great accomplishment. And so we're capable of doing that. We put ourselves in position to do that, and we'll keep striving for that. So if I've learned anything, I've learned that.
John, you're going to the last year of your contract. Do you plan to, or have you had any conversations about your future?
You know, I talk to Eric every day, talk to Steve every day. Not every day. Steve wouldn't talk to me every day. Talk to Sashi about every other day. But, you know, I'm happy, man. I'm happy. And however that goes, I trust God. I trust the people I work with every day who I love, who are my friends. But more importantly, we're on a mission together. And as long as that goes, as long as God permits that to go, then I'm all about it. You know, I'm fired up for it. And I don't worry about those kind of things. They take care of themselves.
Eric, to go back to the secondary for a minute, you know, Marlon talked to us at various times about his approach this offseason. Obviously, getting healthy was a key thing for him. Based on the way he played, I mean, did you see anything different in Marlon's prep for this season? And what, you know, difference does it make for this defense as a whole when Marlon is as effective as he was this year?
Yeah, you know, Marlon it's a great story. I love Marlon. We spend a lot of time talking together of different things, usually about life stuff, not so much football. I think a big thing for Marlon was just staying healthy. You know, his off season, how he trains, what he does, how he eats, how he runs, how he works out, his mindset. He came in, he was focused day one. You think he felt like, you know, Marlon's the type of guy, he wants to challenge, he wants to be challenged, he wants to have a chip on his shoulder. And I think, you know, he would probably say that he heard some of the criticisms and some of the complaints. You know, he's a highly paid player. And he came back this year and he proved everybody wrong. And made plays, attitude was great, a leader, physical like he's always been, big play guy. Outstanding. I thought it was great. and it really helped our defense, you know, through the tough times. And his performance really never wavered from game to game. He was very, very consistent. I think he's in a great place. And he's another guy that we're very fortunate that we have under contract next year.
Aaron, how would you evaluate Brandon Stevens' season, and how would you view his future?
You know, B. Steve is a great pro. Awesome attitude. He's a great teammate. He'd probably say he didn't have as good a year this year. But his attitude never wavered. He's out there, very, very dependable, good practice player, tough, physical guy. He's a free agent. So there's a lot of pressure on him, I think, in his mind. You know, he was a great pick, and I'm proud of him. This is a guy that's really only been playing DB for about 4 or 5 years, and he's grown a lot, and he's been a good player for us over the years. And we'll have to see what happens with him. You know, he's probably going to have a chance to test the market and see what his value is. But he's helped us win a lot of games over the last couple of years. He's been a big part of our success, and I'm proud of him for that.
John, talk about the Bills game. One of the key sequences was you guys had first and goal at the 2 and got held to a field goal. And a lot of people are critical of the fact that Derrick Henry had one touch in that sequence. What do you say about that sequence, and do you think of that once the season is over, do you kind of put that game off more than a week to week?
No, we look at it very closely, and when you're not successful, the play calling is going to be in question. You know, and we question it too. We look at it really hard, and we ran it the first time, and they ran it all out, pretty much an all out blitz, and stopped it. You know, you can definitely run 3 times into an all out blitz if you want, but that's probably not very smart. We had a play, the second play was an idea to get kind of sneak Ronnie out, and you got to give the you know, you can say, well, it's a bad call, but if it works and he's wide open, it's a great call, you know, and it's a little bit of a trick play probably, so we tried that. Sure, I'd like them both back. I'd like to throw it. I would like to have thrown it on first down and not run the trick play on second down, and then now we're you know, in a situation where we're pretty much in a passing situation. They, again, were pretty much loaded up. And they got pressure and got a sack. So I think that's football. That's the way it goes sometimes, disappointing. The play calling is not good if it doesn't work. You know, that's the bottom line. And that's how you look at it.
With Justin Tucker, he did finish the season. It seemed like coming off the bye, you know, he got everything on track. What did you see? What did you see that changed that all of a sudden everything seemed like it corrected itself?
You know, the thing about the Justin Tucker thing, and we had a great conversation yesterday, and really long, honest conversation, and it was great because we talk all the time, and he's really a good guy, and he's a mature guy, and he's a thoughtful guy. You know, maybe we all saw that Justin Tucker is human. You know, maybe we got a chance to see that. It's hard to be a great kicker in this league and be as consistent as he's been, and he ran into that this adversity probably a lot later in his career than most of these guys do, but it's something that probably had to happen in terms of his growth as a player and even as a performer. You know, it's like golf. It's like making a great driver, a great putt time and time again. And he went through this thing that was really more here than it was here because he was kicking so well in practice, and he knew exactly what the format was. Stay in balance, follow through, hit it clean. And that was kind of his swing thoughts that he would make in practice. And then taking those to the game under the duress of having those misses when he didn't do that, you know, when he didn't get himself somewhat in the right frame of mind to be able to make that type of contact on the ball that he wanted, to pull himself out of that was going to be the test. And the fact that he went through that, pulled himself out of it, because there's only him. Only he can do it. He's the only one in his mind that can do that. If you're a high-level performer, maybe you understand that more than those of us who aren't athletes at that level. And that's the thing I was proud of him for, and I think that's going to serve him well going forward in his career.
John, you dealt with a bunch of injuries to Deonte Hardy and obviously Keaton Mitchell coming back in the return game. That being said, cycled through a bunch of returners this year. There were a couple games where it seemed like some of those judgments were tough or you know, there were muffs. How do you kind of look at the whole of the return game this year and where it needs to get better?
Yeah, I mean, I think from a personnel standpoint, we'd like to get settled there. You know, we do. Kickoff return is different than punt return. Eric and I talk about this a lot. You know, you can find kickoff returners. Running backs seem to be really valuable in this new return game thing. And we have really good running backs who are, you know, we have 3 guys that are really good at it. as running backs. And so I'm pretty excited about those guys going forward. Punt return is a whole different thing. You know, how many guys have done both? I had Brian Mitchell. Brian Westbrook was able to do both. James Thrash was only a kick returner. The guys who have been here over the years have been kind of like that. Some have been both. Some have been more punt return oriented. But we need to get settled at punt returner. You know, that's a huge role on the team. Whether it's one of the guys here right now or someone that we are able to bring in, that's an important position for us. I think you're making a good point.
Eric, would you say with Kyle Hamilton, his role changed this year? He did an excellent job in the new role, but would you prefer to have him do more of what he did a year ago, and does that make finding another safety a priority for you guys?
Well, we'll look at that. I mean, I think we definitely saw a different type of performance from Kyle this year. But, I mean, if you look at overall how our defense blossomed with him back there, I think it was worthwhile. Did he make as many splash plays? Probably not. But I'd take the improvement in the defense rather than Kyle making splash plays and us not being very good on defense. So, you know, if we can add another safety, you know, obviously it would be really good for us. Gives us that, you know, multiplicity on defense and the ability to do a lot of different things. Kyle becomes that sort of jackknife again. But, listen, we're blessed to have Kyle and our Darius back there. We've got good young corners with Marlon. You know, I think we'll see, hopefully. I mean, I would anticipate our secondary is going to play like they did over the last 8, 9, 10 games of the season next year. And that's a comforting thing. I am actually, ironically, looking at a safety upstairs right now in the draft. So, you know, no, but we'll go through it and we'll look at all the players and we'll rank the board like we always do. And if the best guy is a free safety at that pick, then we'll take him. We'll be very happy with it.
John, how did you like Hard Knocks being in the building? Was it a distraction at all? I thought it made you look great. I thought it made the facility.
Yeah, he's lifting weights. You know, looks like, you know, He-Man.
Who wants to work out, huh?
Were you aware that it might be a selling point to free agents seeing how the Ravens do things? I thought it was a really good piece to be on.
You know, it's a great question and point. We didn't know, did we? We didn't know. And it wasn't like we had a choice. But I will say, credit to the Hard Knocks people and NFL Films that were here. They were first class. They were non-intrusive. You didn't even know. You didn't even know. You forgot they were around so many times, which they probably wanted. But, you know, they were great. They were great to work with. They were professional. They respected the guys and the space. And I thought they portrayed it in a way that was really pretty accurate and pretty true. You know, it felt right, the stuff I saw. So I don't know. I wasn't a big advocate of it before. I joked I never watched it. I did watch these just recently, you know, and I give those guys a lot of credit. They're pros, and they deserve whatever credit they get for what they put out there. That was a really good series.
And they handled the infestation pretty good.
Well, Derek, that's crazy,
you know,
man.
Because their trailer.
You guys
got to
hear this, man.
But their trailer was infested with crickets the entire time, and they handled it really well. I mean, they were surprised that crickets could actually thrive in winter conditions, but they did.
Well, it's a warm trailer.
It was a warm trailer, but I mean, it was really tough for them to handle that every single day, the chirping of all the crickets. So I give them a lot of credit for that.
They did discover the cricket infestation, though.
Yeah, eventually, and they did find some crickets.
And they did find the root cause, and they pinpointed the culprit.
And they found about 12 crickets.
You don't place those crickets in there, right?
Well, we know who they did find out who placed the crickets. The cricket placer actually ended up taking credit for it at the end. It's like.
How meaningful would it be to get Todd Monken back? Is there anything?
What was the first part of it?
How meaningful would it be to get Todd Monken back? And is there any Todd Monken?
Yeah, get him back. What was the.
How
meaningful?
Yeah, and meaningful. Is there anything that you want for the 2025 offense? That, you know, this year's team didn't have that. I know it was so successful, but is there anything?
That's two very different questions. It will be very meaningful if and when we get Todd Monken back. I'm very hopeful that we will. Have you heard something? Sounds like you're tapped in pretty good. Was there any jobs open yet? Are all the jobs closed?
Jaguars.
Raiders.
Raiders. So that's not a done deal yet, but Todd Monken will be a great head coach. I'll just say that. He's a really good football coach. He's an old school football coach, with kind of a new school and a creative mind. Always creating. He works well with the staff. We have a great staff around him. So because of that, it'll be very meaningful, if and when we get him back. and we can continue forward. And I really am excited about, you know, 3.0, that iteration of this offense going forward, because we found ourselves through the last offseason and into this season in terms of how we wanted to organize the offense and tie it all together and use the different platforms that you can use. We're kind of in every world offensively, and it's not easy to do that, but we can do that because of our quarterback, because our quarterback's capable of living in all those different offensive worlds, and that's tough for a defense to defend. How we can continue to evolve that so we can operate it more efficiently, more effectively, more quickly, with less verbiage and all those kind of things, where everybody's on even more and more on the same page, that's what we'll be striving for.
I wanted to ask, I know it's been a lot of noise, some of our handles online, but recently a Buffalo fan, they created a GoFundMe, and they raised, I think, $64,000 to donate to Mark's charity. So I just wanted to ask if you all had heard about that and what you all think about that.
I hadn't heard about it. I don't have any thoughts really on it. It's nice, you know.
John, to go back to Todd for a second, I want to ask a question about age, so I want to be delicate, but I think, you know, the archetype that a lot of people think of for an offensive coordinator, so the hot young wunderkind, his 30s or 40s, who has great new ideas. Is there something to be said based on the success Todd has had with the Ravens for a guy who, I mean, you called him an old school coach, kind of put in the work in a bunch of different places and has that experience?
Yes, there is. And, you know, don't underrate experience, right? You know, there are no new ideas in football. There are new iterations, new ways they're organized, new ways they're applied, great ways they're taught or not taught, creating a vision for your team, getting everybody on the same page so they can execute and operate together, making the best use of your ability and your talent. But the challenge for a coach that's been around over the years is the ability to get out in front and stay ahead of the fact that it's always moving, and you got to keep moving, you got to keep staying ahead of what people are doing. You know, there's split safety coverages changed over the last 3 years, and people caught up with them this year again. So what's our next iteration of that going to be across the league? This is always an ever-moving kind of a game, a chess game, but it's a higher level than chess. There's more to it. And Todd's one of those guys that can apply his experience along with the fact that he's always thinking ahead. He's always trying to come up with the next idea. And then he's also very much a collaborator. You know, you've got T and George Godsey and George Warhop and Travis Schweitzer and Greg Lewis and Willie Taggart. Those guys all bringing all these ideas to the table and those guys working together. To me, sometimes a young coach does a good job of that. Sometimes an experienced guy understands the value of that and is able to utilize his people really well around him. And it's the guys that last. Those are the guys that kind of prove themselves over time, I think, and Todd's one of those guys.
Good job that Warhop did, because he came in at a tough spot, and those offensive line, I mean, the way they went from, you know, being criticized to being, you know, Pro Bowl guy, you know, and I thought George did an awesome job teaching.
Agree. You know, George is known as one of the best offensive line coaches in the league, and everybody respects him. And for him to be available, I've told you this before, I've known him since we were 25 years old when he was working for Mike Godfrey at the University of Kansas, and we spent a week together talking football, you know. And Mike came to one and spent a week with us this week during the season and spent time here. So, you know, those are the connections that you make. And he was a great coach then, and he's a great coach now. How many guys could have come in that circumstance? I mean, Joe D is loved, respected, did an amazing job here. We have a Joe D Award. We have a room named after him. We love him. And for a coach to be good enough to adapt to the things that the offense, the way it was built, the calls, the way they were made, the way the techniques were taught, and still put his imprint on it, because you got to coach it the way you believe in it being coached, and do it in a seamless way where the guys, it makes sense to the guys, you know, you got to be really good to do that. And that's, to me, that's George Warhop, and I think he deserves a lot of credit for it, to your point.
Hey, John. Eric, if you we talked to Patrick Carr yesterday or whatever, and he said he wants to retire as a Raven. Have you had discussion? There's only so many teams even use a fullback, and this team seems ideally suited for one. Have you had discussions about bringing him back, or what's his future here?
No, we haven't had those discussions yet. His agent's a good friend of mine, and you know, I think Pat knows how we feel about him, and I would love for him to retire as a Raven too. I mean, he epitomizes everything that we're all about. And he's another undrafted guy who just became, in my opinion, the best at his position. So, you know, we'll have those discussions. This is not the first time that he's been a free agent. And so I think In fact, I think he signed at least two deals with us after his rookie deal. So this is probably his fourth contract now with us if we can get him signed. And I would say that would be the goal.
Eric, with John, what has kind of stood out to you about him as head coach over the past 17 years?
Man, that's a deep question. I wish I had more time to reflect on it, but I think coach has changed a lot. I think John's changed a lot over the years in different ways, and mostly all good ways. I think he
Do you care elaborate on the not good ways?
When I say that, I think
that was your next question.
I think that his passion for the team, for winning, has never wavered. He's resolute in his beliefs. He's a man of faith. He comes to work every day. And that's inspiring because he has the passion at practice every day that's probably unmatched amongst anybody, players, coaches. What I appreciate about John is you might have a fight with him. You might argue. You know, it might be a bad argument. And the next day he's going to come in and he's going to put his arm around you and he's either going to say, you know what, I still think I'm right. Or he's going to say, you know what, I was wrong. But he has those conversations with you. And that's why you're always going to be a friend with John, because he doesn't hold a grudge. He's willing to consider the other point. He's not stubborn. I mean, he can be stubborn, but he's always going to come back around. And it's about making the right decision, not his decision, not my decision, not Ozzie's decision, not Todd's decision. It's what's the right decision for the Ravens.
John, what was going on with Zay's? Was he able to come back if you're still going? And is this something that just needs rest in the offseason, or is there more to it?
Yeah, I think you had a great chance to play in this next game. It was doubtful was a good designation for this game. They wanted to work him out before the game and just in case, but I wasn't counting on it, honestly. But I'm not going to rule him out until he's out. This next game would have had a real chance. So should be fine going forward. I don't think it's going to be a surgery in the end, but they haven't determined that for sure yet. If they do it, they'll probably just do it to kind of be sure. Yeah, that's where it was at.
Along those lines, are there any minor cleanup surgeries, operations that you expect from just a follow-up of the season?
I'm not aware of that, Eric. Can you have anything? I don't think we have any.
Yeah, I mean, if we get to that point, we'll be able to share some information with you guys, probably at the combine. But right now, everything's still kind of in flux. We're still doing MRIs and X-rays and different things, second opinions and all these different things. And so it's too close to the end of the season for us to really say that definitively.
All right, thanks, guys.